Time to talk some baseball with Dan Shulman. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Now, I don't know what else. Let's start with Kevin Pillar, and I don't know what else there is to add with the way that things have been handled. He said what he said, and the Blue Jays took it over from Major League Baseball, as they should. They suspended him. Okay, Kevin Pillar said what he had to say. He'll do what he has to do. So what else is there going forward? Are we done?
Well, I'm curious to see what kind of reaction he gets in visiting ballparks and maybe even at home. I mean, as you guys know, Kevin Pillar has been enormously popular across the country. And I don't think that will change that much at the ballpark in Toronto. It might change a little bit, though, and I'm curious to see what kind of reaction he gets on the road. I think it was a very good thing that the punishment phase of this came down as quickly as it did, that it didn't linger, that the Blue Jays and Pillar were both handled this as quickly and as they did, and there does appear to be sincerity and accountability on the part of Pillar. I mean, he made a big mistake, and he's not going to be able to walk away from this one that quickly. To me, the length of the suspension was almost immaterial. It's more the loss of his reputation, I think, that hurts him. But, I don't think we'll know if there will be after effects on this for a while. Yunel Escobar, long term, I don't think there have been, although people still mention it in reference to him every now and again. Probably be the same kind of thing with Pillar.
And it's strange. I even thought, Dan, about the All-Star game in Miami, and I thought, well, Pillar's pushed himself forward as maybe a candidate, and maybe there'd be a marketing tool for the Jays that gets behind him. And then I thought, if I'm Pillar, do I want that time off now to myself? These next 3 weeks could be kind of emotionally exhausting, and you know what the news conferences are like at the All-Star game the day before.
Yeah.
He's going to have to answer again, and he may not want to, and I'd want to go play in the All-Star game, but I wouldn't want to deal with the day before potentially.
Yeah, and that's a good question, and I don't know how he would feel about that or if he's given thought to that, and I don't know if this would hurt his candidacy. I mean, he's not going to get voted in as a starter, and I don't think the next level of getting voted in is on the players' poll. I don't think he'd get voted in there. If he were to go as an All-Star, it would probably be like one of the last 8 picks made by the manager to round out the team, largely from teams that haven't had a player selected yet. And without question, he would be under consideration for an All-Star spot just based on the numbers. But yeah, you make a good point. I mean, A, I wonder if this hurts his chances, and B, I wonder if he wants to go through it. Like, in normal circumstances, what a moment it would be for a guy like Kevin Pillar, what was he, 32nd round pick, to wind up going to the All-Star game. It's a little trickier now. But if he is as sincere and as accountable as he wants us to think that he is, then you go and you answer the questions. He's talked about turning a negative into a positive, and that's not just making your donation and doing your service time. That's continuing to stand up in front of the cameras about it as well.
Yeah, it's so different. You and Elliot remember Kenny Rogers was having a great season, and he got in this confrontation with a cameraman, and it just happened that it was a week before the All-Star game, and he pulled out and he said, don't send me. I'm having a good year, but I don't want to talk about shoving a cameraman before a practice. And so totally different, but you don't want the negative spotlight on yourself.
No, but again, if you are as accountable as Kevin Pillar has said he is willing to be, then you accept it. And it'll be interesting. I'm sure there will be conversations. Again, if it gets down to the point where you're talking about the last 8 players and baseball is involved in choosing those players to round out the All-Star team, it's not just one manager. It's not just the All-Star manager sitting in a room making those decisions. It's not how it works. And I wonder if baseball would weigh in pro or con on whether or not they wanted him there as well.
Talking baseball with Dan Shulman, play-by-play, Sportsnet and ESPN. All right, talking point number 2, Jose Bautista. And this has layers to it, right? I mean, Bautista, a little bat flip there in an 8-3 game makes it 8-4. And I wonder who was more upset or who should be more upset, his teammates or the opposition. And everyone kind of let him get hit there last night, including himself, and so good of baseball to take care of it the way that they should have. They let him get hit. He let himself get hit. And just like that, we were done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4 days in the making, right? Seven Atlanta batters hit, and Freddie Freeman, their best player, one of the best players in baseball, out for 8 to 10 weeks. So, Jose's smart, and he's been around a long time, and he knew this was coming. And it wouldn't surprise me if somebody, whether it was John Gibbons, Ross Atkins, or a combination of the two, walked into the clubhouse before the game and said, listen, guys, you know what's coming. Just play. Blue Jays behaved very poorly on Wednesday night, I thought, in a number of respects. They have a reputation with other teams. They have a reputation with umpires and so on. But I thought what Bautista did last night was as painful as I'm sure it was to get hit in the thigh by a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, he did exactly the right thing. Unfortunately, Tehran missed him the first time.
Yep.
Had he missed him again and then throw it at him a third time, you know, who knows, you know, if Jose would have done, you know, would have taken it as well as he did. But he did exactly the right thing. He knew all day long he was going to be the guy. He's the target, and he was going to be the guy. And, you know, had he responded or retaliated or gotten angry, then it would have been a powder keg. Like, the lid would have come off. So, but by just jogging down to first, and with there being no response from the Blue Jays, and there shouldn't have been response from the Blue Jays, you know, it is over. I think a lot of times this stuff gets distracting, and your energy is going in other directions other than winning ball games. And a lot of what we saw from the Blue Jays on Wednesday night was out of frustration, I think. So I thought they played with, you know, they were much more level-headed last night, which they needed to be.
All right. So before Greg takes you to last night's game, I agree that, thank goodness, the second pitch hit him, because the umpire would have had to warn after that. So he didn't warn after the first pitch. He would have had to warn after the second pitch, and then we wouldn't be done with it. That's all. All right. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, yeah. He just tell him to do a better job
of
hitting
him. He had to hit him in the second pitch because we would have been stuck in no man's land, and those two teams don't face each other again until the World Series.
You can't have a Nuke Lelouch scenario, Dan, where the mascot wanders by at the given time. You can't.
Get to the Stroman. What a crazy game.
He's something else, isn't he? I mean, to hit, and he said last night, he's never hit an opposite field home run in any level in his life. And then he does it in the major leagues on a pitch that was 4 or 5 inches up and out of the strike zone. I don't know that there are many people who, like, David Ortiz wanted to be up there with everything on the line. Marcus Stroman is like, bring it on. I want the pressure. I want the spotlight. I want the responsibility. He thrives on it. He really, really does. And you know, going back to the Pilar All-Star conversation, you know, Marcus Stroman could wind up in the All-Star game. Blue Jays don't have a ton of candidates right now, but Marcus Stroman could be a guy the way that he's going. But what he did with his arm and what he did with his bat, and it is really amazing. And he'll pitch again in Milwaukee, which is good. That's it. You know, they've planned it out well. He'll get a chance to swing the bat, I guess, next week on Wednesday, I guess, one of the games in Milwaukee, which is excellent. But he is something else. I give him a ton of credit. I mean, you know, as we all know, he's battled the perception that, you know, he can't do this and he can't do that, and he can do just about anything. He's been something this year.
And should they bat him seventh in that game?
Oh,
I think not just the Tony LaRussa batting him eighth.
With the way they're dropping like flies, maybe even higher than that. I mean he's no Madison Bumgarner. Let's not get crazy here.
Yeah.
Like, Bumgarner, you can make a case for actually batting higher in the lineup, but I don't know. Stick him in the two spot. He's got good speed. You know, see if he can move a runner. If nothing else, who knows?
Dan Gilman's our guest. Texas Detroit, by the way, the ESPN Sunday night game, and Texas is red hot now. 9 straight wins. Do you see? We're at the quarter pole, and when I see Milwaukee in first, though not by much, Colorado in first, Minnesota in first. Is there a sort of sneaky playoff team in either league that is? Arizona's been good too. Anybody that's leaping off the page, and you're like, I don't know if it's sustainable, but it's I'm keeping an eye on their wins and losses just to see if it is, because we know the contenders. We thought the Giants would be, the Mets would be, maybe the Jays too. They got to get back to 500 before it's even a conversation.
Yeah, I've always thought it was Colorado from day one this season, and the reason I thought so was their bullpen looks great. Looked great on paper in the spring and looks really good coming out of the season. Greg Holland looks like he is all the way back. I mean, he has been absolutely sensational for them. They've got a very good setup man in Adam Ottavino. Jake McGee is a quality guy from the left side, and they picked up Mike Dunn as a free agent. I think they've got four legit guys you can pitch in the seventh inning or later, two lefties, two righties, and a bona fide closer in Holland, and they can hold leads. If they can get leads, they can hold leads. Their starting pitching has been pretty good, you know, hot and cold, so-so. It's tough at Coors Field, obviously, and we know they're going to score. But I think this is a pretty good Colorado team, and I think they might be in it for the long haul this year. You know, so it is only the quarter pole, and if you go back historically and look at mid-May and then look at end of September, there's not a whole lot of correlation. A lot of teams have a good 40 games, but I think Colorado's a team to keep an eye on.
All right, but before we let you go with something we discussed earlier, just wondering your opinion on the subject. We're looking at the wild card and the different teams that are there and hanging around now. The sustainability of this year's New York Yankees.
I think they are better than I thought they were going to be coming into the season. I think they have a chance to contend for a playoff spot, which I didn't think coming into the season. To me, the whole key for them is guys like Michael Pineda and Luis Severino. They're young star. Pineda's not that young anymore. They're two of their starting pitchers. If those guys are really good, or if those guys are good, I think the Yankees can be good. You know, Aaron Judge, I don't think is going to hit 60 home runs. I mean, he'll have his hot stretches and his cool spells. But they've got a good lineup. I mean, if you look at them around the diamond, they're going to score runs. They're going to hit, and their bullpen is really good. So it's their starting pitching. I think there is a possibility they could make the playoffs. I don't see, and I heard you guys talking about half an hour ago, I agree with you. I don't see a wild card team coming out of the Central.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Angels or Athletics making the playoffs. I thought the Mariners would be better than they are, and maybe they still will be. But
the pitching injuries have been so tough for them,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. There is a chance you could get three teams out of the American League East and into the playoffs this year. And if that's the case, you got to think the Yankees are in there. I mean, and every year we kind of look at the Orioles and go, nah, they can't do it. And they're pretty good, you know, and then they find a way. So I think it's wide open. I'm not sure there are great, other than Houston, I'm not sure there are great teams in the American League, but I think you could have some pretty interesting races for the wild card this year.
All right. Safe travels, my friend.
Thank you.